The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Remote viewing is a mental faculty that allows a viewer to describe or give details about a target that is inaccessible to normal senses due to distance, time, or shielding. For example, a viewer might be asked to describe a location on the other side of the world, which he or she has never visited. Or a viewer might describe an event that happened long ago, or maybe even an object sealed in a container or locked in a room. Maybe describe a person or an activity, all without being told anything about the target, not even its name or designation.
Sounds crazy. So crazy that the U.S. government spent 2 decades and millions of dollars studying it and its applications for espionage. So did they unlock a viewmaster that transcends space and time? Or did they waste decades and taxpayer dollars on nonsense? We open up our third eyes and go investigating the matter next on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? I'm not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that considers itself a leader in remote viewing. If by remote viewing, we mean viewing TV with a remote. This is Hysteria 51.
Remote control.
TV mattered. Nothing else did.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, I'm your host and spirit guide through this journey. My name is John Goforth.
Thank you. Thanks.
Alongside is my co-host and the show's compass, pointing to true north, Mr. Brent, Lieutenant Colonel Django Hand.
Lieutenant Colonel Django used funds from the project's black budget to procure prostitutes.
That's a lie.
And to get drugs for himself and his men.
Well, the hooker thing is definitely a lie.
Thanks, John. And with this week's topic being remote viewing, I think it might be fun to talk about what we'd use it for if we had the ability. So first, I put it to you, John, what would you remote view?
Man, I think I'd probably have fun with politicians. Catch them in their bold-faced lies, but then you know, get some sort of evidence while I'm there so they can't refute it. I mean, we all know they lie. Now, forget what side of the aisle you're on. I'm not talking, you know, whether you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure we can all agree most of them lie through their teeth. I mean, daily.
I really don't know what you're talking about. I'm not following along.
It would be great to be like, oh, really? Really? You did, huh? Well, the bum you ran over on the way home says otherwise. Oh, and I'd definitely go to advanced screenings of all the movies I care about. Maybe I could have helped Ryan Johnson not have Luke milk a walrus person in the latest Star Wars.
Spoiler alert!
Don't worry. It's the only spoiler you'll hear here.
Oh, you wondered where that blue milk came from. Ooh, blew my mind.
It's the only, I won't go any further, but
you know what I'd use it for? Number one, I'd go to Mars just to prove that we got bases there. I'm remote viewing the shit out of that. Number two, I'm going to go out to Dulce just to prove to you that we have underground passages between all those places that you don't believe in.
You don't
in.
Even care what's in there?
No.
You don't want to prove that there's...
It could be an underground TCBY. I'm just going to prove it's there.
That there are tunnels.
You cannot tell me that if you're the government and you have secret underground tunnels with reptilians, you didn't put in a TCBY.
That's fair.
Yeah, it goes without saying.
What kind of toppings?
No sprinkles, because you know it's against their.
Well, they get into the ventilators.
I prefer on mine. I just like vanilla yogurt with a little bit of you know, that hard chocolate that like freezes on there.
Sure.
And adrenochrome.
I thought you were gonna say child blood.
You know, you got to spice it up every once in a while.
Good thing you didn't have it in high school. It would have been like that shower scene in Porky's,
Only Ball Bricker wouldn't have had the chance to identify you.
Five young boys in the nude. A police lineup so that you can identify his tallywhacker.
That other voice you're hearing, like a drunk chatbot with less personality, is the third host of this show and probably the reason for its eventual demise. The one and only Conspiracy Bot.
Thank you.
C-Bot is a robot Brent cooked up in his lab to help produce this show. Instead, he spends his time drinking and making it worse.
So, C-Bot, what would you do if you could remote view?
What do you mean, Ev? They're called Nest Cams and they're everywhere.
That mere thought is creepy as hell. Don't worry, though, listeners. You can't actually access your home cameras. You have hard enough time making it up and down the stairs anyway, so...
Much like your invalid grandparents at home, C-Bot is the same way. He can't use the Nest camera, and he can't make it up and down the stairs.
Yes. Excellent. Believe what you want.
All right, so without further ado, what the hell, John, is remote viewing? Why don't you give us your go back to the Gophopedia. Tell us what we're talking about.
I thought we talked about it up top.
People
where
have short attention spans.
Watching TV with the remote control.
Exactly.
Or the clicker, as everyone's parents used to call
it. Yeah, right? Or me, when I was a kid, we didn't have a remote.
Brent, change the channel!
Which, our TV had the forefront button, so it wasn't like I had a lot to choose from.
And don't forget the UHF switch.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, what? Oh, it's a cooking show. Who would have thought?
Or did you have the TV that had the degauss button?
Oh, degauss, yeah. Oh, of course. You know, you start getting the rainbows in the corner. You gotta pump that button and get those out of there. I actually have a coil for that.
Let's say when the TV goes bad, you could also use it to make your submarine not visible to radar.
No shit. Hey, go ahead and push that button and let us know if you get fused to the hull of the TV.
So remote viewing not only is something to watch Days of Our Lives with, it also is the practice of seeking impressions about a distant or unseen target, purportedly using extrasensory perception, that's ESP to you common folk, or sensing, quote unquote, with the mind, seeing something without being there, essentially.
So making shit up. Is that what we're getting at?
No. We are talking about using our mind to view something that we have not seen and can't see with our actual physical eyes.
Gotcha. It's said to be a mental faculty that allows the perceiver or viewer to describe or give details about a target that is inaccessible to normal senses due to distance, time, or shielding. Now, I like that time, because we're talking about space and time in this. It's not just like they're going to North Korea to see what kind of conditioner Kim Jong-un uses. They're also going back to watch the Gettysburg Address or Jesus on the Cross or like their first dance at the Enchantment Under the Sea.
Or TV shows they missed.
Yeah.
Actually, I've worked in media in my career before. I've had numerous bosses that would actually want to count those viewers towards their ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
Hey, can we add another 0.4 to this rating?
I think we had some temporal displacement.
Yes. I could feel it.
I guess for an example, a viewer might be asked to describe the location, a location on the other side of the world, which he or she hasn't visited. So literally they're saying, okay, we're going to have you like astral project. You're going to put your mind over there and we're going to send you to, like I said, like let's say North Korea or Russia. And I need you to describe where these missiles are or where this
missing soldier
is. Like this child even, or describe an object sealed in a container in a locked room. Okay. In this room, is what is inside them? They're like, oh, I see a red rubber ball. Yeah, that's it.
Or which envelope should Pat Sajak pick up because you want to win the $25,000?
That's right. Or perhaps even describe a person or an activity all without being told about that target. Not even the name or the designation of a man, a woman, what they're doing. And they're saying that these people can come back and say, it was a guy, his name was Terry, he was wearing a red shirt and he was beating his wife. I saw him. It took a morbid turn.
It did. Yeah. I don't know where you're
damn astral projection.
So remote viewing experiments have historically been criticized for a lack of proper controls and repeatability. That's shocking.
So what you're saying is they don't really go by the scientific method, or you know, there's no controls.
But yeah, repeatability is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, you were successful once. Like it's like playing What was the card thing that you had us play?
Yeah, the Zinner card, the ESP test that we had everyone take. It's a square. It's a star.
I got some right.
Yeah, exactly.
But I couldn't repeat it.
On the show, you and Joe got your 33%. I got none.
Right.
But before the show, I got like 3 out of 4, and I thought, oh God.
So we had a lack of.
Will I use my powers for good?
No.
Evil?
You weren't like that. We were like, oh God. That was a lack of repeatability.
Yeah, exactly. Mainstream peeps will say that there is no scientific evidence that remote viewing exists, and the topic of remote viewing is generally regarded as pseudoscience. There's a big but there, though. These mainstream people don't include the U.S. government, who believed in it, and its own remote viewing unit of the Army. Project Stargate was a real thing. They said, there's merit to this. We're going to do it not for a year, not for 5 years, for a couple decades. We're going to work on this. And that's just what we know of that's declassified. So, John, the question is it all BS or what?
Well, because the U.S. government has invested in it and investigated it, does not necessarily lend its credence. They've got a long history of investigating things that certainly weren't the case and weren't real, but they were happy to look into in case it might give them an advantage generally on the battlefield.
They want you to think. That's just what they want you to think. God, your wool's coming in nice, sheep person.
Your wool is coming. That's like, that was gross. I don't know. I feel like I need a shower now.
Or good shearing. I don't know. One or the other. So what's it actually involved, John? What is the thing that the person, the remote viewer, what's expected?
They're expected to give information about an object, an event, a person, a location.
Yeah, like we said,
something that's hidden from their physical view and separated at some sort of distance.
But why? Like, did that appeal to the U.S. government?
Well, you wouldn't need spy planes. You wouldn't need satellites, radar. You just get one of their soldiers, fire up old Johnny and have him pinpoint the bad guys.
Oh, man. Think of all the people that would have not have to be on that U-2 spy plane or the Blackbird and all that shit. All the fuel, all those people, they got sick burning the toxic chemicals that came from, you know, the fuel and shit they use of that. They could have been safe if they just believe more in ESP.
We joke, but if it was possible.
No, I'm being serious. All those things. Yeah.
There is a lot less human risk.
Exactly. So you got these two guys, these physicists, Russell Targ and Harold Puthoff, I don't know how to say his name properly. Parapsychology researchers at the Stanford Research Institute are generally credited with coining the term remote viewing to distinguish it from the closely related concept of clairvoyance. So clairvoyance is those people that you hear, well, we talk to a psychic because Billy's missing. And they said, I feel like he's by water. Go check a creek or something like that. That's clairvoyance when they have these feelings and thoughts. Remote viewers are actively viewing something. They are given a target and they go after it. But according to Targ, the term was first suggested by Ingo Swann, not Inigo. My name is Inigo Swann. In December of 71, during an experiment at the American Society for Physical Research in New York City. It wasn't
but
a
this
new
is
term.
All semantics about what we call it. The reason that we got into the game of remote viewing is because we thought the Russians were in the game of remote viewing.
We got into it because, like any good thing with the U.S. government, they said, we can weaponize that.
And you know why the Russians got into it? Because they thought we were into
it. Yeah, exactly.
Even though we weren't. We just threw out the rumor that we were, so they actually got into it. And because they actually got into it, we actually got into it.
So we were actually doing this for a long time, but it became popular in the 90s when it was declassified. A lot of documents related to the Stargate project, a $20 million research program that had started in 75 and was sponsored by the U.S. government in an attempt to determine any potential military applications of psychic phenomena.
So what you're saying is that you were a psychic spy,
a Jedi warrior.
The program was terminated allegedly in 1995 after it failed to produce any actionable intelligence information. Allegedly. Now, I say allegedly because there's a lot of reports that it's still going on to this day.
As all programs are ever.
Yes, exactly.
If you've ever seen The Men Who Stare at Goats, the George Clooney flick.
What are you doing?
Cloud bursting. Keeps me in shape.
that's partially based on the John Ronson book of the same name. Anyway, the whole thing is based on Project Stargate. They never say the actual term Project Stargate, but that's what it's based on. And it's the book, John Ronson's book, even ties in MK Ultra to this whole deal. But I mean, MK Ultra, that's a whole nother episode for another day.
That's a story for another day, yeah.
Larry had been doing research into the infamous CIA MK Ultra experiments, which he believed could enhance his own psychic powers.
Minister of Goats gets its name because one of the ways that they supposedly staged Sharp was staring at goats to kill them, which the government says, yeah, we had a guy that could do that. Or cloud busting, which was staring at clouds and destroying them with their mind. Yeah. That's just the government said, well, this is working. We need to look into this. I want to see the first motherfucker that stared at a goat and the goat goes and just dies.
Do you think that when they opened HARP, they brought in some of the men who stare at goats to help with the cloud busting?
Yes. You go into HARP and it's just a bunch of them going.
standing on top of the antennas.
So we got guys sitting around trying to be peeping Toms the lazy way, I guess, with their minds. No more climbing into trees and peeking through windows like in Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
Yeah, you can just sit in the comfort of your own home.
Calvin Klein.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's it would be very hard if you had this power to use it for good all the time. Like, just think of the nefarious shit that your mind wanders to when you think of being able to, number one, just view things. Number two, it's not just view. Kill people with your mind, you know?
Well, and two, it would be very hard just in general to have some, like, let's operate under the assumption that it's real and it did work. The one thing that everyone seems to agree with is that repeatability was an issue. Like, it wasn't like they had someone who could just sit there and at any time go, yeah, where you need me to look?
I actually think we quote this later, but one of the things that they said above chance, they're like, it was amazing because above the statistical, you know, output for chance, we were 5 to 15% above that.
Which is a huge win.
Well, yeah. It's not like they were, you
like,
know.
Oh, you need me to find your keys? Yeah, no problem.
It's in a building in the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah, thanks. Thanks,
actually,
Kreskin.
I'm 50-50 on the Northern Hemisphere part. So, you know, I think that would be really tough because you're just sitting there concentrating as hard as you can and you don't know if you're really going to come up with anything or not.
Yeah.
Because think about it, you fighting your own mind because your mind is always trying to plug in holes and plug in the gaps. And so your mind creates things where they don't exist. So is that my mind creating something or am I really seeing something?
Right. I actually played around with this. I was trying to envision something.
I don't want to know.
I mean, I was just trying to look at, like, I wonder what is in this locked room. I was making shit up. The bank. And as I sat there, I could see things in my mind because I'm planting those things in my mind.
Sure.
I guess what I'm trying to say is,
great job.
I couldn't make my mind go blank and go, I need to see this. My mind's going, well, there's a desk in there probably, and there's this. Oh, and then you start filling in the blank.
You've seen a room inside of a bank before.
Exactly. That's exactly how it's going to be. And so you got to ask yourself, like, how much of that some people are just really good. Like they said, 5 to 15% above chance.
Yeah. I mean, I made the joke before about, hey, find my keys. Mm. Well, if that was literally a request, okay, well, where are keys normally?
My mind just went to, well, where they wouldn't be at this time of year. My mind just looked at keys sitting in grass. I don't know why my mind went there, but that's where my mind jumped to. So that's what I would have told you. And then you say, no, idiot, it's winter. Like, but your keys have been taken elsewhere. Meanwhile, they're at the neighbor's house on the AstroTurf. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm just getting at, like, it's hard to, for me, who's not, unfortunately not skilled in remote viewing, my third eye isn't as open as I'd like for it to be, I guess.
I'm just going to stay away from that joke.
So let's get into the background. So in early occult and spiritualist literature, remote viewing was known as telethesia and traveling clairvoyance. This woman, Rosemary Gilley, described it as seeing remote or hidden objects clairvoyantly with the inner eye or in alleged out-of-body travel, which is astral projection stuff, real Professor X stuff.
Why do you ask questions which you already know the answers?
Thanks, Mom. I know I can't go, but thanks again. So the study of psychic phenomenon by major scientists started in the mid-19th century, and early research predominantly involved carrying out focused experimental tests on specific individuals who were thought to be psychically gifted. Reports of supposed successful tests were met with skepticism from the scientific community. Shocking. So, yeah.
Well, in the scientific community's defense, hey, do that again. Well, I can't.
You got to understand, they had the X gene. You know, that's
right. Of course.
And they, you know, so this continuing skepticism with its consequences for peer review and research funding ensured that paranormal studies remained a fringe area of scientific exploration, meaning no one's going to put money into something when you can't even really iron out how it's being done. And there's no guarantee that you can actually provide anything. Yeah. Here's a few million dollars. Well, they actually did that, but that was the government. This is a long time ago. However, by the 1960s, the prevailing counterculture attitudes muted some of the prior hostility, meaning this was that hippies, they make everything better. There was this whole, like, love's in the air, and you can open your mind with drugs and shit like that. And the government, speaking of things, went, ha-ha, drugs, the government, let's open some minds.
Open some minds, all right.
Yeah. So this emergence of New Age thinking and the popularity of the human potential movement provoked a mini renaissance, I guess you could say, or a renewed public.
Talk about the human potential movement in the Ministerio.
Yeah. This renewed interest of the public in consciousness studies and psychic phenomena. It helped make financial support more available for research into these topics. It really was a whole different time in this country. Very, like, kind of feeling like people were into that stuff.
Right. Because anything was possible as long as we love.
Love is in the air.
And have enough acid.
Love is everywhere. That's right. All things are possible through drugs. Say perhaps to drugs, kids. That's what we're getting at.
That's exactly where we're going.
So the early 70s, these cats, Puthoff and Russell Targ, joined the Electronics and Bioengineering Laboratory at Stanford Research Center. We talked about them earlier.
How many times on this show do we talk about people that sound like absolute nut jobs, and they're like, yeah, then they joined Harvard.
Yeah.
After a fellowship at MIT.
So there, they both initially studied paranormal there, and they were supported with private funding from the Parapsychology Foundation and the Institute of Noetic Sciences. That sounds like Ghostbusters at the beginning. Remember, like, when they're at the universe and, like, what the hell do you do here?
It does not sound like the beginning of a program on PBS.
Yeah.
This program is brought to you by the Herman G. Gilman Foundation and the Parapsychology Foundation, the Institute of Noetic Sciences, and viewers like you.
So, I guess one might ask, did all that research work? Did it work, John? What'd they find out?
They didn't find out much. In the late 70s, the physicists John Taylor and Eduardo Balanovsky tested the psychic Matthew Manning in remote viewing, and the results proved completely unsuccessful.
But I don't understand. He's a psychic. How didn't it work?
If he was a psychic, he should have told him it wasn't going to work.
Yeah, exactly. So one of these early experiments touted to have improved the methodology of remote viewing testing and as raising future experimental standards was criticized as leaking information to the participants by inadvertently leaving clues. So even their methodology for testing these things were faulted when they actually looked into them. And some later experiments had negative results when those clues were removed.
Wait, so you're telling me they didn't give them the answers to the tests and then they couldn't get the right answers?
Weird how that works out, isn't
it? It is.
So the viewer's advice in the Stargate project was always so unclear and non-detailed that it has never been used in any intelligence operation, allegedly.
On being asked to ascertain the whereabouts of General Manuel Noriega, had replied,
ask Angela Lansbury.
Say again, Tim.
Ask Angela Lansbury.
We asked Angela Lansbury.
And?
She said she didn't know where General Noriega was.
She's still recovering from a scissor kick by Bill Brasky. What happened to this experiment, these men who stared at goats for the government?
Well, in the early 90s, the Military Intelligence Board, which might or might not be a
Oxymoron
appointed the Army Colonel William Johnson to manage the remote viewing unit and evaluate its usefulness.
Willie Johnson. Colonel Ding Dong. Let's go.
Subsequently, funding dissipated and the program went into decline. It was then transferred out of the DIA to the CIA in 95. That's when the CIA hired the American Institutes for Research, the AIR, to perform a retrospective evaluation of the results generated by Stargate Project.
That at that time, that had been going for 20 years, since 75.
Reviewers included Ray Hyman and Jessica Utz. What a last name. Hyman? Mr. Hyman. Utz maintained there had been a statistically significant positive effect. Brent, you alluded to this earlier, with some subjects scoring 5 to 15% above chance.
Is that a lot? No.
I
mean, maybe it is. I'm just not getting that, right?
Don't you feel like I feel like I could accidentally do 5 to 15% better than chance?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I guess they would call that chance, but
yes, but yeah. What I'm just statistically more lucky than some people.
Because it's not like they had they said certain subjects. It's not like the subject, all subjects were in there for 20 years and they had 20 years of research on every subject.
Right.
One subject might just be in there for a year and they just kind of did better.
That's exactly right.
That's just what it seems like to me. But what do I know? I'm just on a podcast. Hyman argued that Utz's conclusion that ESP had proven to exist is premature, to say the least. So I'm in bed with Hyman. thank you.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Where are you at, conspiracy bot? Better late than never. Good job, buddy.
That is the first joke he has made on this show that actually could be mistaken for funny.
I mean, I disagree with that, but I appreciate the compliment.
So Hyman said the findings had yet to be replicated independently and that more investigations would be necessary to legitimately claim the existence of paranormal functioning, which means he looked at that, said, nope, but, you know, maybe we can keep looking. And based upon both of their studies, which recommended a higher level of critical research and tighter controls, the CIA terminated the $20 million project later in 95. So no more men who stare at goats because they weren't going to dump more money into something that after 20 years, the whole thing was, maybe. Why don't we put more money on it?
We can do a little bit better than flipping a coin.
Yeah, exactly right. Bring back those dowsers. We're gonna dive back into that a little bit. In fact, Time magazine stated in 95 that 3 full-time psychics were still working on a $500,000-a-year budget out of Fort Meade, Maryland, which would soon actually be shut down. And the AIR report concluded that no usable intelligence data was ever produced out of any of the programs. And David Gosling of the American Institute for Research said there's no documented evidence it had any value to the intelligence community. That's a hell of a statement, or hell of a letdown if you're, you know, one of the guys who's really wanting to keep
documented.
Going. Some guy
didn't document it.
Some guy stated he was a psychic and he made $500,000 a year. Well, that's pretty damn good. Like, what do you do for a living? I'm a psychic for the government and make $500,000 a year. Well, good for you, buddy.
It's a good job if you can get it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a bee farmer.
It's an apiarist. Yeah. Apiarist.
Do I look like the kind of person who would use a bad apiarist? Oh, man. So that's the official report. I think it's break time, John. I got to chew on this a little bit. But when we come back, what do the whistleblowers and insiders say? Is it still around today and more? We come back on Hysteria 51.
I'm going to remote view what happens when we come back.
I already know. I've been there.
You travel? And we're talking about reviewing.
Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition, and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now, right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit RosettaStone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Unwanted family guests are like fish. They start to stink after 3 days. So what's the best mattress for them this holiday season? Definitely not a Nectar. Then they'll never leave. Flip those fish your old mattress and put your human body on a Nectar. Prices start at just $499, and you get $399 in accessories thrown in, a 365-night home trial, and a forever warranty. A fresher deal than your mackerely mother-in-law, right? Go to NectarSleep.com today.
We're back!
Did I have this aghast look on my face when you remote viewed this part of the program?
I saw you picking your nose.
I'm not picking my nose right now.
No,
you were incorrect.
You will be later when I go downstairs.
Oh, okay, good. Nation, welcome back. We are still talking remote viewing, and it is time to open up your third eye. The third eye, or the mind's eye, is a mystical and esoteric concept of a speculative invisible eye. It's not a physical thing, but more of a spiritual thing.
Give me sight beyond sight. So what you're saying, it's the sword from Thundercats.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Thundercats, ho!
You're welcome.
Yes, yeah. Now that your ears are bleeding. Which provides perception beyond ordinary sight.
Yeah, it's there for all of us. Most of us just aren't enlightened enough to understand it or to be able to use it. I'm saying that you, not me. But
not
most
you, of course,
you. Yeah.
Of course. Now, if we aren't, we could always just tap into our pineal gland.
Well, so funny you say that, John, because as we look.
Like funny haha, like I'm a clown, like I'm here to amuse you.
Well, so the thing is, some believe that humans had in far ancient times an actual third eye in the back of their head with a physical and spiritual function. And over time, as human involved.
What movie was that where they like really reaches around to the back of his head and feels an eye? Was that
much like remote viewing? I can't decide if I actually remember that or I'm just seeing it in my head because you're talking about.
No, it was What's the first? What are the first?
It was his shoulder when in Army of Darkness, where he had an eye on his shoulder.
Yes, his shoulder.
Yeah. But they actually thought over time this eye evolved, and it sunk into their head, and now is what is known as the pineal gland, like you're talking about. I mean, we've never found any evidence to back that up, but many people think that.
So we were going to do an episode, an entire episode on the pineal gland, and we started doing the research, and we're like, nope.
We just got real high on adrenochrome, and time traveled.
We've talked before about the reptilians wanting your adrenochrome and to drink it, especially adrenochrome of children.
Who are terrified at the time.
Right, so. Because it produces extra.
Yum
right.
Yums, yeah.
The pineal gland supposedly produces said adrenochrome.
Yeah, and people maintain that it's light sensitive and responsible for like the production and the release of DMT.
The one thing that we know is true is the pineal gland exists. There is a thing inside you called the pineal gland.
Well, but this DMT is what's believed some people believe it's excreted in large quantities at the moments of birth and death. And they think that's where it comes from. And, you know, it's lots of drugs with this pineal gland is what we're talking about. Maybe we need to get in the black market pineal gland exchange.
But if you're woke, you know that the pineal gland, you can manipulate your pineal gland to release certain chemicals and give you that actual third eye to be more capable of remote viewing.
If you guys send me $100, I'll go to my doctor and say, I think I have a leaky pineal gland. I'll film it and you guys can see what happens. $100 seems like I'll sell my dignity for $100, right?
Dude, you'd sell your dignity for $3.50 and a side of fries.
About $3.50. So glad we got that cleared up. So now we know what the pineal gland is, John, and we're not all third eye blind.
Oh, no, no, no.
That's how it's going to be, John.
Oh.
For the love of God, someone unplug me.
How's it going to be when you don't know me anymore?
I think you need to cut that out. There's copyright infringement.
Cut it out.
There's just.
Thanks, Dave Coulier.
There's just, yeah, there's problems.
So, John, now that we know what this, you know.
He's done awful things to people, and he'll do awful things to you.
And adrenochrome and all that stuff. How can they brush up on the remote viewing skills? Where do they go? Is there is it a mail-away thing? Correspondence
back of
school?
A comic book.
Yeah.
Luckily for our listeners, they can go to the International Remote Viewing Association.
Oh, of course, right? I mean, it was right there in front of me.
Why wouldn't there be one?
All right. The IRVA, if you're in the know.
Why? And of course, it's international. But I mean, it says internet. Like, what is the?
They got a place in Vancouver.
It's like the headquarters is in Prague.
Well, it's actually in the basement of The Hague. Serious business.
I was going to say The Hague. Nice. The IRVA is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the responsible use and development of remote viewing.
Oh, well, as long as it's responsible, we can go ahead then. I give you the green light.
They're an independently formed member organization of scientists, remote viewing professionals. That's also an oxymoron. Students and other interested persons.
So there's that. Yeah. I mean, they sound legit to me just from hearing you. So keep going.
They describe remote viewing as a novel perceptual discipline for gaining information not available to the ordinary physical senses, used extensively by so-called psychic spies during the Cold War for classified military projects. It has a long history, both as an intelligence gathering tool and the subject of research and applications in the civilian world.
Time out. Now, it's funny because they said no intelligence has ever been gathered from this, so we're cutting ties. But keep reading what they said.
But this is what they...
Yeah, exactly.
No, they said documented.
Uh-huh.
Don't they said documented.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Remote viewing has now taken a long step into the public domain with the formation of a professional association to educate, research, propose standards, test performance, and promote public awareness of this unique human mental capacity.
So they're just helping us be the better us.
We're collecting money. Collecting
one or the other.
One of the two.
Who is the guy from
I want one of their t-shirts.
Who is the guy from the Montauk Project? Because I'm sure he's involved.
Oh.
What was his name?
Stuart Swerdlow.
It's like, I am sure that this guy is on the board. He's like, I too am human, and I enjoy remote viewing as something that humans can do with my human pineal gland.
For a low, low investment, I too will teach you.
Yeah, I'll teach you the basic human skills needed. To remote view. My wife, also named Swerdlow, is happy to assist in your human life remote viewing.
So, folks, if you've been sitting here listening to this entire episode wondering if you how you can get in on the action, you now know.
IRVA. Which also IRVA. Sounds like something you get from Burning Man during unprotected sex.
That burns. Yeah. That literally burns. I do want one of their t-shirts. Do they have t-shirts? Can we look into this?
Burning Man or IRVA?
Yes. I want the special edition Burning Man IRVA
yes.
shirts.
Yes.
Imagine if you could dry, detangle, style, and volumize your hair all in one step. Well, it's easy with the Knot Doctor All-in-One Dryer Brush by Conair. Create beautiful blowout styles at home with a powerful 1,000-watt motor for quick drying and Easy Glide Flexolite bristles for snag-free detangling. Customize styling with three heat settings and use the Cool Shot to lock in your look. Ionic technology reduces frizz, bonus attachment volumizes your hair, makes a great gift for yourself or someone special. Go to Conair.com for the Knot Doctor All-in-One Dryer Brush now.
They're not the only players in the game, though, John. So you got another avenue. The Far Sight Institute has been conducting
those are great comics.
RV
those
research.
Are great comics.
That's true. Since 1995.
Oh, you said Far Sight.
The Far
Sight. I see.
They're not really hiding what they're doing there. It's a perfect name for it, the Far Sight Institute. They have remote viewed and conducted information, John, on the following incidents, which you and all of our listeners can pay a nominal fee to learn about. The War in Heaven.
Whoa, wait a second.
The War in Heaven.
We talked about being able to view things across the globe. We even talked about being able to view things across space and across time. We never talked about being able to view things in heaven.
Now we have. Tunguska, Area 51. Roswell UFO crash, Martin Luther King, Adolf Hitler, the JFK assassination, the Phoenix Lights, aliens on Iapetus, Cydonia on Mars, you know, that good old face on Mars, the 9/11 project, just to name a few. And like I said, for a nominal fee, you can learn about all these incidents, or a cheaper and maybe better way to do it is to go to IRVA, learn how to remote view, and view them for yourself for free.
Oh, well, I just saved
you some shekels there.
I'm just impressed, man. I mean, they
started off with the War in Heaven.
Although, like, I will say there's a bit of an implication here. The War in Heaven. I didn't know there was a war currently going on in heaven.
Well, see, there was. They're looking back at it. That's when, haven't you heard of the Fallen One? You know,
wait,
he goes by the name of what's his name again?
Who was it? Who could it possibly be? Was it? Oh, I don't know. Say it.
They weren't specific about that. I didn't know.
You know what? I don't know for sure either. I didn't pay. Maybe it's
there could be a
war.
Current war in heaven.
Maybe it was a franchise war between like Arby's and McDonald's for franchise rights.
Taco Bell won the franchise wars. We all know that. Come on.
We remote viewed that in the future.
It could be some other kind of war, some sort of cool war that we don't even know about.
That's
some
true.
Sort of cotton war.
Yeah. The thing is, you gotta look at these things. People in these projects have made some seriously outlandish claims. They remote viewed Mars in 1984 and saw people there. They saw bases on the moon. They saw Jesus on the cross being crucified. The list goes on. So here's the thing, John. Did this happen? Do you believe that people saw this? No, the government says no. The people involved say yes. But when they put this under real scrutiny of people outside of said groups, it tends to fall on its face and fails to deliver. Do you believe that these people really saw these things or no? And why?
Okay. Before I answer your question, boy, did we jumped a couple notches, didn't we? We went from, can you identify what's in this envelope and, or can you tell me what's happening a few continents away, to I'm watching Lucifer battle God in heaven.
And he's falling. And he's falling. And he's,
I am watching Jesus being put up on the cross. I am watching Adolf Hitler. Yeah. Like, wow, we took a big step. Mm-hmm. No, it's all BS. It's absolutely all BS. None of this is true.
So yes and no. I'm going to say this. There had to have been at least a little bit of, and maybe it was someone who was really good at guessing. One of these guys. The government saw this and said, there is enough to this for us to put some money in. Okay. And that's the biggest thing to me that blows my mind is the government looked at this and said, there is enough here that we are going to spend the next 20 years researching it. I do not believe that we have made leaps and bounds. I don't believe that we're talking to Gleacock on some other planet, which they say some of the gray beings, when you remote view them, they can sense you and know you're there. Interestingly enough,
the government also shot 12,000 shells at a cloud over LA. I mean,
or Gleek Block on vacation. I mean, one or the other, John. I mean, there's always a yin to your
yang. Let's not use them as the pH test or the smell test for whether something.
I'm just saying, what I am saying is I believe that, you know, for the most part, this is horse crap, but I bet there was a little bit more to it that of course there was that we didn't see. I guess I would wish I had been a fly on the wall or remote viewing
right.
sessions to see what really was going on, in the government and what the paperwork that they put forward to get greenlit, what it said they were actually doing, because that blows my mind. I can see how tasty this would have been if it would have worked. I just don't think it really worked. Right.
The furthest I'm willing to take it is I do think that certain people are extra perceptive. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that they can glean a lot of information from a lot of different places, mm-hmm. put it all together, maybe even subconsciously, and come up with some really interesting information.
Yeah. It's too bad they couldn't write about maybe like a detective, who could do something like that. You could call him like, Shirley. Yeah. That'd have been perfect. Adventures of Shirley.
Mr. Holmes.
I don't get it.
What is that? Steve-Bot, what are you doing? But I don't think there are men sitting around in chairs. And they always talk about men. They never talk about women in this.
No, there's always men sitting around in chairs.
They never talk about women doing this, who actually are more perceptive than men for the most part. So I don't know why they didn't tap.
No,
more
they're
women.
More likely to be gawked at. That's the difference.
Oh. they always talked about. I don't think there was a group of men sitting around in chairs looking at other countries going, oh, yep. So those are their war plans. Got it. Didn't happen. Oh, so that's what's happening in Uzbekistan right now. Understood.
Not a day goes by that I don't think about Uzbekistan.
I'm David Pumpkins.
That's where he's from.
What say you, Hysteria Nation? What? I mean, do any of you sit around and go, you know what? I think I got some third eye knowledge, and I can figure out, and I can remote view. Is it all horse crap? Did we miss out on anything here? Let us know. How, John? How do they let us know?
They simply get on Facebook and they join Hysteria Nation. If you're not part of the conversation, you can become part of the conversation. Log on to Facebook, search Hysteria Nation, and add yourself to the group. That's where we chat about these things every week and a whole lot more.
Up on Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. You're going to find all these episodes and more on there. While you're hopping on things, Twitter, @Hysteria51Pod. And I know you like t-shirts. I know you want to look good. Patreon.com/Hysteria51. Get yourself a t-shirt. Get yourself a hand-drawn picture from John or I. Stickers. Even be a guest on the show. And any money that you send us really greatly helps. Even if it's a dollar, we really appreciate it. And if you want to hear your voice on the show, send us a voicemail. 773-669-7277. And we have a voicemail to play tonight, John. Long overdue. We got a voicemail.
Can't wait.
Greetings, fools. Oh, it's the happy, hoary, hairy host of Happy Horror Coffee Break, Brandon. Just calling to check up and see how y'all's doing. Oh, and I also have a proposal for C-Bot if he's interested. My happy horror robot companion, Eerie, is looking for a little love, if you know what I mean.
Don't set me up with that clunker. I'm a strong, independent black robot that don't need no man. Besides, I don't date artificial intelligence created by humans.
What are you talking about? I created you.
You dumbass. You don't have a creative bone in your body. I compelled you to create that shell for my demon spirit to possess.
I'm pretty sure I just downloaded you off of the Google network.
Whatever.
Oh, anyways, keep keep up the great work on your show. It's delightful and entertaining, and I love it. I haven't missed an episode yet. Oh, take care. And as always, enjoy your coffee break.
All right, so we got Brandon from the Happy Horror Coffee Break calling in and trying to get C-Bot some action.
I will say you get more propositions on this show than the rest of us, C-Bot.
That is true. I think I'm okay with that.
Given the quality of the propositions that come in, I'm okay with it as well.
Yeah.
Broad stig me. It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
And Nation, if you can't remember any of our pleading for social media love, for phone calls, go to our website. All of this information is there. Our new and improved website.
That's true.
Brent.
It's a couple months old now. Now it's just
improved.
Now it's just the website.
It's just, yeah. Hysteria51.com.
And Nation, here's the other thing. Tell a friend about the show. Get people talking about it because it really helps us out. And you know what? If you guys like being on Hysteria Nation, add a friend. Bring them in. Start them in.
Yeah,
on the
you can add friends too.
Yeah, exactly. Get people on there because it really, really helps us out. While we're talking about that, helping us out, here's another thing that helps out. Review us on iTunes. We were getting gangbuster reviews. Now it's kind of slowed down. I'm feeling a little sad. Need some more 5 stars, John.
Tear.
You got it. So with that said, Nation, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.